Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another Wednesday evening with the Clear Mountain Monastery community. I'm personally very happy. This evening we have Ajahn Banot Gunawato, also known as Prakru Medangkon, who was a friend of mine when I lived in Thailand. Probably met long time no see. So yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
Sawasdee, Ajahn Govilo, and glad to meet you all here, all live from Thailand.
Nice. I'll read your short biography, Ajahn. So I'm very happy to introduce Prakru Medangkon, also known as Ajahn Banot Gunawato. A scholar and practitioner of Buddhism, Ajahn Banot holds a master's degree in Buddhist studies from Maha Chulalongkorn University in Thailand, with a focus on life and death studies, which is very interesting. His academic journey also includes extensive studies in Abhidhamma and Pali language. Ajahn Banot's interests lie in intersection of spirituality and well-being, with a particular focus on Buddhist psychology, gamification and e-learning for Buddhist teachings, and insight meditation. He has helped in developing a Buddhist bereavement care program and has served as a spiritual caregiver in several hospitals in Bangkok. As a Dhamma lecturer and dialogue facilitator, Ajahn Banot has shared his knowledge and insights through various platforms, including Buddhist podcast programs, a YouTube channel, and that's actually one of our supporters, Yomanida. She reminded me she's been attending your, I think it's Damroy Puddhatam lectures.
Online e-learning.
Online e-learning, exactly, through YouTube. And she was just very impressed. And she was like, oh yeah, there's a monk, Ajahn Banot. He's so good. You should interview him. Oh, I know Ajahn Banot.
Actually, I do nothing. Just read and bring Buddha Dhamma from my master, my teacher, and tell other people online. And I think if you have a chance to read this book, it is, for me, it's like the introduction to understand my own life and how to live my life.
Well, maybe we can jump right in there. So this is the book, and we have actually, this is the English version, and it's big. And some of the people in our community are actively reading it, trying to read it from beginning to end. So that's 1,500, almost 1,600 people. Yeah. So maybe that might be a place to jump in. I mean, you ordained at Tanjiao Kun Pa'o Payuto, P.A. Payuto's monastery. How did you come to robes? How did you become inspired in Buddhism and want to ordain with Tan Somdet?
Okay, we start from the story long time ago. Actually, I am an engineering student. I was an engineering student in a university in Bangkok, living in very city environment. And I start thinking about my life when I study in university, about the goal of my life and what is my life for, what is the goal, what is the happiness of my life. I've tried to find this answer from books, from many teachers, not only Buddhism. Although in Thailand, most people believe in Buddhism, but the Buddhism that was taught in school is not, in my opinion, is not exactly the teaching that is useful for developing one's own life. It's like, remember who is the Buddha, when he was born, and something like that. So I start questioning about this and try to find out from many books, many teachers, many religions. And I start to get some interesting point from the Buddha's teaching to set my own goal of living. It's not the exact answer that I have to ordain and to be a monk, but I just want to find the better way to live happily. And when I was in the last 2-3 years in university life, I start practice meditation.
Okay.
I went to meditation course with retreat center and try. Actually, I don't like it. I did not like it at that time. It's very difficult and very boring to be in the meditation center, do nothing and try not to think. But it's very good experience, although it's not happy, but it made me find that there is something more to learn.
Hmm.
After that, I read more books and I think that to be a monk is the choice to learn more.
Hmm.
It's the opportunity to study in deep. So I think that I will try to learn as a monk. I don't have the goal that I have to be a monk for the whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It's flexible for me. Prepare myself. If I ordain and it's good for me, it's okay for me, I can continue. And if it's not work, I can come back and enjoy my life.
Could you say a little bit more about that? Because I mean, some people in America, you know, they don't know, they think maybe monks have to be monks for their whole life. And in some, like mm-hmm. Sri Lanka, that is kind of the case. But you mentioned that you just had this thought, oh, it could just be temporary. What is it like?
Actually, even in the Buddha's time, to be a monk is like the open area for any people who are interested in learning their life, and they can come from every class and from any class, any families, any people can come. And it doesn't mean that when you ordain and shave your head and rope with this kind of rope, and that one will be immediately enlightened or free from kilesa. But it's the way to practice. It's the open area for any people to come and learn. And if they think that they cannot learn or they don't enjoy learning anymore, they can disrobe, they can come back. And maybe later they can ordain again.
Mm.
And also this concept in Thai culture, we adopt this idea and ordination is the Thai tradition for a man when they turn from a boy to a man, mm. about 20 years old, mm. We are suggested to ordain, to be a monk for some period of time, maybe 1 month, 1 year. This tradition is Thai tradition that comes in many, I think it started very long time ago in Sukhothai or Ayutthaya, about 1,000 years before Bangkok started.
Wow, is it correct that like a Thai man who has not yet ordained is still considered deep, is still like deep, uncooked or raw? Is that is that
according
correct?
To this tradition? But I have to note that this tradition is changed time by time, and in present day it's not so popular to believe in this.
Mm-hmm.
Less and less people ordain at the present time.
Right. So you were born into a Buddhist family, but it wasn't really until you did your meditation retreat when you were in college that you actually became inspired and thought, no, maybe I could actually do this. And so you took a temporary, perhaps longer ordination. And was that at Wat Nyanaweskawan Ajahn Tan Somdet Pie Payuto's monastery?
Yes, at that time.
Okay. So why did you choose Tan Somdet, his monastery? I mean, in Thailand, you've got I've heard, you know, something like 30,000 monasteries you could choose
from. Yeah, yeah. In Thailand, we can find temples and monks almost every corners of the road. And there are many, many temples. So according to the tradition that we ordained, so in the past time, especially in rural area, the community is very close, and there are always some temples in village. And the connection between the monk and the villagers are very close to each other. They know each other. And if there is anything in the village, the monk can help and be a teacher, be maybe sometime police, be counselor for the villagers in that area. This is the community.
Like a moderator.
But when the time passed by, the urbanization make this connection change. And although we have many temples and monks nearby, but we don't know each other. And sometimes we did not go to the temple near our house, but we choose the temples that teach or have the activities like our own style. Depends on what you like. Some temples are focused on teaching Pali. Some temples famous for meditation. Some temples are famous for ceremony or some magic ceremony for someone who believe. But for me, I start from the question. I start from asking myself about my life. So I try to find the temples and the master who teach or talk or have some practice to find out this answer. At that time, there are, in my opinion, in my scope of knowledge, I know three main temples, and Ajahn Chah is one of three. Mm-hmm. Ajahn Chah, Ajahn Puttathasa, and Venerable P.A. Payutto. Mm. These three Ajahns are quite famous in Thai, can we call Thai scholar or Thai Buddhist, who are interested in reading and practicing meditation. So I went to these three temples. Ajahn Chah in northeastern part of Thailand, Ajahn Puttathasa in the southern part of Thailand, and Ajahn Payutto, Longpho Somdet, in the Bangkok vicinity. And okay. My choice is...
So before you ordained, you went and visited these different monasteries?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
To observe and to make sure that, is this what I like? And will I be okay to be here for 1 year, 2 years? And my answer is very easy, that I cannot, as I was born in Bangkok and spend my whole life in Bangkok, I think to be in a forest temple is too difficult for my starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way of reading first to understand what to do first. So I choose to ordain here in Wat Yanawet Sakawan and have Ajahn Venerable P.A. Payutto as my upachaya. Because here we have, in this temple, they have course for new monk to learn and to get the basic concept of Buddhism. And I think that it is a good start point for me.
Yeah, I've, what is it? Dam Roy Prat Mai, something.
Dam Prat Mai, Parian Tham.
Right. Allowing new monks to study the Dhamma, a whole curriculum. I think I read that whole series. It's pretty amazing, like giving people a step-by-step introduction both to teachings and how to be a monk. Quite extraordinary. And I think the vast majority of monks, including Western monks, certainly don't get as systematic a study as that. I'm curious if you could say more. I mean, people will see that the color of your robes are different from the color of my robes. And you mentioned all these different types of monks in Thailand. You've got just so many choices. And could you talk a little bit more about the different types of monks or different types of practices? Because people here in America, I mean, there just aren't that many choices, you know?
To answer this question, I think we have to look to the whole big picture that we have starting Buddhism in India, and about 200-300 years later, after the Buddha passed away, we start to have two kinds or two Nikaya, two schools. The first one is the schools that strict to the Pali texts and try not to change anything, both the Dhamma, the teaching, and the discipline, Vinaya. And these schools moved southward to Sri Lanka, to Myanmar, to Thailand, to Laos, Cambodia. This area adopt Buddhism from the Southern school. And at that time, there was an idea that some detailed teaching or some detailed discipline can be changed. And actually, the Buddha allowed to change something. And they start to change some small discipline in order to fit the environment. Mm-hmm. And this school moved northward to Nepal, to China, Japan. And from the start point to change something, in this school, something can be changed. But there is no exact limit how much to change. So in this school, they're based on Sanskrit text. And in this big school, there are many, many small schools. Some sub-school change very little, but some schools change a lot. For example, some Nikaya in Japan, the monk can has family, can get married, for example. So this is the big two different groups of monks or schools. So in Thailand, most of us, 90 or more, are the same school. We call Theravada, or the Southern school, or the Pali school. But we also have some Mahayana or Sanskrit school in Thailand as well. Uh-huh. And to focus on the Theravada school, mostly we are the one Nikaya, one school in Thailand, until the King Rama IV. King Rama IV, about 100 years ago, he tried to develop and make the Buddhist Sangha more strict and focus on Vinaya rules. So that he established another sub school we call Dhammayutta. So the original one was named Mahanikaya. So there are two different schools in Pali school in Thailand. But for the teaching, in my opinion, I think that there is not much different or maybe no different. We can read the same books. We practice together. Maybe some vinaya or some sangha ceremony that separate.
Yeah, so just a reminder for people, people can put questions in the comments section, and we'll get to those in a bit. But just a bit of background. So Ajahn Banot and I first met when both of us were visiting Wat Pananachat, the International Forest Monastery in Thailand, in 2015, I believe. And Ajahn Banot was visiting from Wat Nyan, his temple, Pie Peyuto's monastery, which is... Is it in Bangkok, technically, or?
Bangkok vicinity, just cross the road is Bangkok.
Right. In, what's the province?
Nakhon Pathom.
Nakhon Pathom. And then I was visiting coming to live in Thailand after my fifth year in robes, ordaining in America. And it's like you said, Ajahn, it's like, you know, I studied Theravada here in America, and you studied, you know, Theravada in Bangkok, and both of us come to... Northeast Thailand, where things are, you know, a bit different. You know, we're living in the forest in a certain way, but it's not, it's very easy for us to adapt. You know, we're both, we're all reading Pali, chanting Pali together. So.
I think it's very interesting that we came from different country, different language, different background, and we met each other in a temple. And we chant the same language, which is not mine and not yours. We chant Pali language, which is the ancient language 2,000 years ago together with the same exact words.
Right, right. Yeah, that leads into another topic. I mean, you and I have both studied Pali. I mean, I'm currently still in university studying Pali, and I still love it. And that's pretty common among a certain demographic of Western Buddhists become inspired by Theravada and start learning a bit of Pali. One area of Theravada Buddhism, which isn't so popular among practicing Buddhists these days, is the Abhidhamma. And you actually, did you finish 7 levels or 9 levels of the Abhidhamma studies?
Yes.
And I saw on... as part of your resume or your background, that you have actually taught Abhidhamma for Vipassana. So that is like the, could you explain what Abhidhamma is and how it can actually be for practice and insight?
Actually, Abhidhamma is not in my head when I ordained, and I don't think that I will learn this kind of thing. I think it's very difficult, and actually not for human being, I think. It's very detailed. It's like someone who talk about quantum physics or something like that. And for what? For me at first. And the story start in my first year of my ordination. When I became a monk, I started the basic course in Wat Yanawe Sakawan. We learn the books you mentioned, Tam Pramai Pilian Tam, follow new monks to learn Dhamma. And I get the concept. I start understand the concept. What is the goal of being a monk? What is the relationship, the roles of monks and lay people in the Buddhist company, Putta Barisat, the Buddhist company? We have monks and lay people, and we study together. Lay people support monks for food, for the robe, for many things. And monks have more time to study, to learn Dhamma, to practice Dhamma. And once the monks learn, they share what they learn to lay people and help lay people to develop their own life. This is the very good connection designed by the Lord Buddha. And when I learned this kind of thing and learned the basic understanding of Dhamma, after the first 3-4 months of these studies, after that, I was suggested to go to the meditation center to practice Vipassana. once again after I tried when I was in the university, and I don't like it. I did not like it. But this time, I met a Myanmar Vipassana teacher. He came from Mandalay to teach Vipassana in Thailand. And that is my good experience to learn what Vipassana is and how it helped my life. One short story is that before I ordained, my mother passed away. Actually, I think that I'm okay. I'm not so sad about it. I learned Dhamma. I know dying is natural phenomena. But deep inside, I learned later that there are some sadness, there are some guilt, there are something in my mind that need to be healed. And when I practice Vipassana, I learn something inside. There is something guilt, there is something I expect to do, but I can't. And not only about the story of my mother, there are many things in my life that I think is okay, but actually it's not. I think it's nothing, no problem, but actually there is some problem. And once I learned this kind of thing, I found that my life is more manageable. I can focus on what I want to focus. I can concentrate and solve some problems in my life better.
So Abhidhamma is a sort of psychology, lets you like list and label or identify different mind states. Is that what you were able to do?
But it starts from Vipassana practice first. When I practice Vipassana, there is something that I don't understand. Why the mind works like this? Why the phenomena, the mind phenomena occurs like this? What is this? And what to do next? And what is the goal of Vipassana leading my life to? So I came back from the 5 or 6 months Vipassana practice, and I have some experience of practice, and I have some questions in my mind. I come to ask my senior monks about my questions from the practice. And my senior monks suggest me that if you want to know this answer, you have to learn Abhidhamma. And that's why I start studying Abhidhamma. And I found that is the good and right suggestion. When I learn Abhidhamma, I don't learn Abhidhamma just because I want to know Abhidhamma, but I learn Abhidhamma to answer my question about Vipassana practice. When we practice Vipassana, what we do, we observe our body and mind by observation. And what is Abhidhamma about? Abhidhamma is about body and mind, theoretically. So I think Abhidhamma and Vipassana is like I learn physics. Abhidhamma tells about atoms, the phenomena in nucleus, the force between nucleus, electron, something. That is physics. And Vipassana is physics laboratory to observe that phenomena by our own life. So these two things, I think it's come together. And that's why I introduced the course Basic Abhidhamma for Vipassana practice.
For Vipassana? That's great.
What,
Yeah, I didn't get to that part in your biography, but Ajahn Banot has actually spent quite a lot of time doing meditation retreats in various traditions. So being in Bangkok, you've had opportunities to go and study, you know, at forest monasteries and practice in a way similar to Ajahn Chah or these forest monks in Thailand, studied with in the Mahasi tradition from Burma, also studied with Sri Lankan teachers. I believe you've also done Goenka retreats. Is that correct? Or Goenka?
Goenka.
Yeah.
I have never.
Not Goenka yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I start from Mahasi Sayadaw's method. Also, and in my first time when I was a university student, and there is one interesting question. Helen asked that, what are the differences between my first meditation experience and better? Very good question. Openness, I think that is my answer. When I don't know the objective, what am I doing for? I think it's hard to practice. There are many questions in the head, and why have to do this? But when I ordain and I learn some basic knowledge, I understand more about the objective of the practice, and also I know the path. It's like understand the map. When I saw the map to the place, to the destination, although the way is difficult, it's not easy, but I can answer myself, what is the goal? And I actually know that I have to pass this step, and this step will be difficult like this, will be very hard or something like that. So it's okay to practice and to pass that some difficult experience.
Ajahn, how do you balance? I mean, you've got a lot of like duties and roles being in a monastery that's not too far from Bangkok. How do you try to get a certain number of months or weeks each year on retreat? Or, yeah, how do you balance these things?
Not easy, no? But I think it can be done not only for monk, not only for the monk in city area or in forest. And it can be applied for lay people as well. One time when I go to practice with Myanmar teacher, and at the end of the course, I went to pay respect and say goodbye to the teacher. And I told him that, okay, Sayadaw, and I hope that I will have a chance to come back and practice once again very soon. And my teacher said that the chance is not what you wait for, but it's the thing you have to create to make it. So that means to me that I have to design my own life. What is my life for? And how will I spend my lifetime for? If we think that working is very important, money is very important, I will spend most of the time in my life for that. If we think that family is very important, the relationship with our loved one is very important, we will spend most of the time for that. So we have to come back to the basic question that what is our goals of one's own life? And if we have the clear answer for this, it's not only one answer. Maybe someone have more than one answer, but we can prioritize these goals And once we clear and we sincere to these answers, we will manage our life according to that answers.
Ajahn, I'm curious, we've got a question here from Ajahn Nisibo, actually, my fellow monk. So he's got a question actually about this clarity of vision and your early inspiration with Than Somdet Pa'apa Yuto. So do you have any stories of interactions that gave you faith in Pa'apa Yuto? He's held in such esteem throughout our tradition.
So, Ajahn, I think I start from his books. And when I read his book or listen to his Dhamma talk, because whenever Pa'apa Yuto, he was sick since he was young, and until now, we said that he's always sick. So we don't have much time to talk with him, because when he talk or give Dhamma talk, he will be very tired and not good for his health. Long time ago, when I was ordained, his health is better than now, but not good enough to give Dhamma talk frequently. So we learn, and he try to tell us that the best way to learn from him is through his books and his records. So my connection with my teacher through this kind of media. But there is something more. When I ordain and become a monk, his kuti is not far from ours. We new monks, we live together in one building, not far from his kuti. And every night, almost every night, we will hear he coughing. Oh, 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 oh. Maybe very late at night. And he works until late at night. What I learned more than the books is that he spent whole life to learn Dhamma and to work for not only for his student, but for anyone who can get the benefit from Buddhist teaching. Mm-hmm. And when I read the Buddha Dhamma book, the one behind Ajahn Gobilo, he told in that book that he tried to bring the Buddha's teaching to the book in order to introduce this teaching to all of us, like the one who opened the door to the Tipitaka, to the Pali text, without his own opinion, or less, as much less as possible. So he said that he write that book as a student who learned the Buddha's teaching and summarized the Buddha's teaching in order to answer the main questions about life. So in this concept, I feel that I love the way he present himself as student and practice and spend his whole life for others, for teaching.
Yeah, probably the foremost scholar monk in Thailand, and just so bright, so humble. I once asked Ajahn Pasano, you know, who is the most humble monk he's ever met, and he mentioned Than Somdet Pa'apa Yuto.
I'm not sure, but to say so, I doesn't mean that Longpo Somdet or Venerable Pa'apa Yuto is better than other senior monks. I think he is just only one of the Thai senior monks who humble, like Ajahn Gobilo said, and be the one who can guide
and live a very simple life. I remember visiting one of his huts, and there was basically nothing in it. And apparently, he just sleeps on wood and uses this as his pillow? Is that impressive?
Yeah, and in his kuti, he works and sleeps on the nearby his table.
Yeah. If anyone can ever watch any YouTube videos of him, and I'll put a link to the digital version of this, which it's fully online in English translation.
You have no digital version?
We do, online, yeah. So here's a question from Mary about your studies. Would you please say something about your life and death studies, Ajahn? Thank you. What was that? Was that the title of your degree program? A master's in life and death studies?
Master degree in life and death studies in Mahachulalongkorn University. Yeah, it started a few years after my first Vipassana course when I was monk. And after I start study Abhidhamma, after that, I found this course, and it made me think about my experience when my mother passed away, and when I practiced Vipassana and I learned Dhamma, and I found that Dhamma and Vipassana practice can help me a lot, can reduce the grief, can reduce the feeling of guilt, and not only reduce the grief, but increase the power of living more joyful, more mindful, and meaningful. So I had an idea that I can summarize what happened to me, why I can reduce my grief, how can I do that, and how can I have a more meaningful life in my own experience. So I try to summarize this, understand this, and make a research to prove this. And that's why I choose to learn in life and death studies program.
Wow. So that I had forgotten this until just now, but when I was visiting you at Wat Nyanaweskawan in Nakhon Pathom, we actually had the opportunity to visit one of the main hospitals in Bangkok to see an autopsy. So, and I mean, this is a theme, it looks like, that has continued on in your work, is actually palliative care and work. And I'm curious what your role looked like in that when you were, as a monk, were you actually, was it mostly counseling people when they're?
In life and death studies, we apply Buddhist teaching and psychological technique, counseling together, and become Buddhist counseling. So to deliver something, to deliver Buddha's teaching, it's not only teaching, but we use counseling concept and help people who are nearly die or lost some beloved one by Buddhist counseling technique.
Ajahn, we only have a minute left, but before we go to Zoom, and Ajahn Panot will be joining us in Zoom, which is great. But we have a few questions actually about Abhidhamma, and people asking about either books or courses recommendations for people hoping to learn Abhidhamma for the purposes of improving Vipassana and insight, their meditation.
Okay, that would be interesting. I think for the last few seconds, I feel happy to talk with you today, and it make me learn that my life is the way of learning actually. I cannot guarantee what I learned, but I'm sure I learned. And And I think this is the life, the learning life, not the lifelong learning, the learning life. And the life is actually like this. Once we learn, we know something more.
Well, Ajahn, it's been great having you. And if you do think of any resources, good resources for Abhidhamma or other Buddhist learning, life learning, you know, please send me those links and I'll put them in the show notes as well. But
okay.
I'm going to paste the link for Zoom into the chat and people can join us over there. There were maybe a few questions we didn't get to, but people can ask them there. And that'll be a place where we can have more interactive dialogue. People can ask questions directly to Ajahn Banot. And until then, I think Ajahn Nisibo will be giving the talk next week, and he'll be, of course, continuing to go on alms next week and is teaching in person on Saturdays. But Ajahn Banot, it's been great seeing you again, and we'll see you over on Zoom. So
okay.
All right.
Nice to see
Bye,
you
everybody.
Here. And see you again.